And welcome to the Perimeter Institute. This is the conference and school on global categorical symmetries. I want to just sort of say a few words, and then we'll get going with the actual science. After 2 years, it's really like Perimeter's been fully online conferences for 2 years. It's really great to see people in person. I also like, I think it's a bit more than half of our participants are online. Are we live, Josh? Okay, great. It's really a privilege to be able to study the science that we love. We all know that. And this privilege, like many privileges, comes at the expense of others. The Perimeter Institute is in the region of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada. And as such, we are the direct beneficiaries of policies of Canada towards its Indigenous peoples. It's our responsibility to acknowledge and to understand this history and to allow this history to guide our actions. Land acknowledgments are one small first step in doing this work. A land acknowledgement is an opportunity to recognize the Indigenous inhabitants of the land where we work and live, and to recognize Indigenous peoples' unique, enduring relationships with this space and place. I want to emphasize that land acknowledgments are not simply about past populations. In spite of periods when it was the official policy of Canada to stamp out Indigenous cultures through, for example, the residential school system, Indigenous cultures continue to endure, and Indigenous peoples are present in every Canadian community. The Perimeter Institute is located in the traditional territory of the Attawandaran, Anishinaabeg, and Haudenosaunee Iroquois peoples. Perimeter, and actually all of Waterloo and Kitchener and Brantford, is located within the Haldimand Tract. The Haldimand Tract is a region of land extending 10 kilometers on either side of the Grand River, stretching from its source in the hills of Dundalk to its mouth on Lake Erie. In 1784, the Canadian government, or at the time the British government, granted this land to the Six Nations Iroquois Confederacy. This grant was in recognition of the Six Nations alliance with the British against the Americans in the Revolutionary War. In the Treaty of Fort Stanwix, the Mohawk Haudenosaunee lost most of their land in upstate New York. The British government purchased the Haldimand Tract from the Mississaugas of the Credit, whose traditional territory spans most of modern-day southwestern Ontario, and granted the tract to the Haudenosaunee. The Six Nations of the Grand River Reservation is the largest by population in Canada, but is now less than 5% of its original territory. Last year, the Six Nations Council called for a moratorium on new development within the Haldimand Tract, and I bring this up just to ask you to think about it when you walk around Waterloo. This conference and the school are in the first in a series of large events organized by the Simons by our Simons collaboration on global categorical symmetries. This collaboration consists, as I think most of you know, of about 20 core members, led by Director Constantine Telemann and Associate Director Michela Del Soto. In addition to our 20 core members, we had a very successful postdoc and graduate student hirings last year. Many of the new collaboration-supported postdocs and students are at this conference, either physically or online. Please do take this opportunity to get to know one another. And if you are, you know, since you're all interested in the topics, I'm confident that we will be doing hirings every year for a while, so keep an eye out in the fall. At its most basic, the scientific premise of the collaboration is the following. Every object in nature has some group of symmetries. For a typical mathematical object, that group is simply a group. Quantum systems, however, have a linearity to them entailed by superposition. As a result, it's reasonable for two symmetries to compose not to another basic symmetry, but rather to a sum of symmetries. Said more mathematically, for quantum mechanical systems, it's natural to consider not just a group of symmetries, not just groups of symmetries, but rather algebras of non-invertible symmetries. In another direction, an object can fail to have an ordinary group of symmetries if it's not an ordinary object, but rather comes with some higher homotopical or categorical flavor, in which case the symmetry group is also higher homotopical. Quantum field theories are fundamental examples of higher objects. Combining these two directions of generalization, we find that quantum field theories can have global symmetries, which are not organized into a group, but rather into a linear higher category. In other words, quantum field theories have categorical global symmetries, where the word categorical is indicating both higherness and non-invertibility. This is true both for high-energy field theories of particles and strings and effective field theories of quasi-particles and quasi-strings. There's a number of fascinating questions that we're going to hear all about in this conference. For an algebraist like me, the main questions are to axiomatize the linear higher categories that can arise as global symmetries of a quantum field theory. There's many parts of higher category theory that we understand quite well. There are also many aspects missing, for example, questions from functional analysis like unitarity and continuity. The best understood parts of category theory are the very finite parts. Finiteness can manifest in many ways as dualizability, as semi-simplicity, and compactness. Very finite categorical symmetries play a really important role, and we're going to hear a lot about them in this conference, but they're by no means the sort of be-all and end-all of global categorical symmetry. And I think a really interesting question is to try to axiomatize the non-finite versions and to study sort of versions of finiteness. In a sort of converse direction from axiomatizing the basic algebraic nature, there's a question that I think of as fundamentally geometric. For each specific quantum field theory, what are its global symmetries? What are its global categorical symmetries? And what are their qualities? This becomes an especially rich question in supersymmetric theories and those that arise in string theory and their various twists. For topologists or technicians, there's a third version of the question: what are the basic operations and constructions to build systems of higher of global symmetries or to break them apart into pieces? For example, what's the right way to understand the homotopy of such a system? I hesitate to say the homotopy groups of it. And are there Posnikov and Whitehead towers? Are there p-localizations? And how are they reflected in the physics? And finally, we're going to have a lot of representation theory talks. And you know, I'm saying this as a mathematician, but this is a physics question. In representation theory, the question becomes, given a system of global categorical symmetries, work out what are its representations, and the point is that quantum field theories are a natural object to represent them on. And so classifying those is a really rich question in pure mathematics. It's also a rich question in physics, as I think many of you will know. The UV to IR map is believed to be a functor. And so if you can work out what I'm calling kind of the geometric question in the UV, then solve the representation theory question, you've dramatically constrained the possible IR behaviors of your system. This is basically the Landau program. The Landau program of classifying phases by their symmetries is known to fail for quantum systems if you insist that symmetry means invertible symmetry. But it seems to succeed for categorical symmetries. At this conference, we'll hear about all aspects of global categorical symmetry, studied from all sorts of perspectives. I think that this diversity of topics is one of the things I'm most excited about. So please let me remind, it probably goes without saying, make an effort to engage with talks far from your area of expertise. As I mentioned earlier, a bit more than half of the total participants of the conference are joining online. I'm sure that all of you have thought a lot over the last few years about the strengths and costs of in-person versus online interaction. And I think it's really exciting that we get to now just make that choice. I'm confident that this is going to run really smoothly as a hybrid conference. And I think that that's a really good future to be aiming for. Just a few years ago, it was normal to hop on a plane for just one meeting. And now we're getting to think about that. So just a few notes about the hybrid structure. Again, I'm sure these are routine, but every place has its own sort of peculiarities. We're a big conference, so those of you online will always have somebody watching the Zoom chat. Please either raise your hand or just ask questions in the chat, and one of the moderators will interrupt the speakers but find an appropriate time to bring them to the speakers. For in-person people, note that the room does not have room mics. So we'll be throwing these cubes around. They have microphones in them. And also, even with that, I want to remind speakers to be in the habit of repeating the question that's asked of you. It's also a chance to pause and think through the answer, because this lapel mic works better than it is a very good microphone. Most of you already took advantage of the rapid COVID testing in the lobby when you arrived, if you're here in person. If you haven't done so, please do so during the first break. Let me also remind, next day for rapid testing on-site will be Thursdays, and then Monday and Thursday next week. Perimeter's masking policy right now is the following. Here in the theater, masks stay on, except for when you're standing at the podium. Then you can take, like standing on stage, then you can present, take the masks off. For the rest of the institute, the policy is basically be respectful. That should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you're in a small group interaction, the default should be to be masked unless everybody agrees that they're comfortable with it. You don't necessarily know what your colleagues' health risks are, and you don't have the right to ask them. You should just respect them if they say they feel more comfortable if you're all masked up. Final administrative announcements I have. There's been some schedule changes that aren't reflected in the printed version of the schedule. They are correct online. The two main ones are that the talks by Colleen Delaney and by Chris Negron have switched places compared to the printed version. Also, next week for the school, the order of lectures is different than it says on the printed version. But the online version, we're going to keep up to date. Second, if you're here to attend the school, the website has some suggested readings. You might have seen them already, but I highly recommend that you check them out before next week. And finally, I'd like to give a shout out to the incredible people here at Perimeter, the AV team, the Bistro, and in particular, Stephanie Moll, the conference program lead. You probably met her at, or you may have met her at registration, and she's been involved in all aspects of conference organizing and implementation, and like this is the fifth time I've run a conference with her, so I just wanted to give her a shout out. And if you're here in person, stop by Stephanie's office and get your water bottle. So with that, it's my pleasure to introduce our first speaker, Justin Keidy from Simon Center for Geometry and Physics, who will tell us about non-invertible symmetries in D greater than 2.